Anything further on that, Steve?
That would be it.
Any other reports? Next item is hospital board vacancy, unexpired term until October 2018. There were two letters of interest. Were there any others? One by Bernie Masson and one by Don McConaughey Sr. I will appoint, without objection, will appoint Don McConaughey Sr. to that unexpired seat. And then item 10C, vacant city boards and committee appointments. They're planning a zoning seat, excuse me. And my understanding that Charles Hagrich has turned in a letter of interest in that. Were there any others? And that's also a 2018 seat, and without objection, I will appoint him to that position. That is all we have here. We also have, there is another Planning and Zoning Commission seat that expires in 2018, and then there's also,
there's still one that expires 2019 and one for 2020.
Okay, the 2018 that's on here is all,
is
that
the one
just
he's going to take.
Okay,
right.
That is not another
right,
2018
no.
seat.
No.
Okay, I just want to make that clear. Okay, but there is, on the Planning and Zoning Commission, there is an unexpired term until 2019 and 2020. One each. Rainbow Convention and Visitors Bureau has an unexpired term, seat until October 2020. And that takes care of that. Now, item 11, persons to be heard. This is an opportunity for any member of the audience to speak on an item that is not on the agenda. If you wish to speak on an item on the agenda, you can speak to it now or wait until it comes up on the agenda.
Nobody signed up.
No persons to be heard.
Can I come forward?
Sure.
I'll put your name on.
Okay, sorry. Well, I want to just let you know that I'm going to not use the term protest. But I did want to just come to the mic and in the presence of the assembly thank Mr. Ryan for his service on this board. That's greatly appreciated. And to affirm that I am going to get with the borough manager here, we're going to discuss the outcome of that tabling of the motion during AFM. And that's all I wanted to say. All right, thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other person? Okay. Item 12, unfinished business, we have none. Item 13, and under new business, item 13A, proposed ordinance number 937, an ordinance of the Assembly of the City of Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, amending certain sections of Chapter 3.05 of the Wrangell Municipal Code of Assembly, Rules of Procedure, First Reading.
Move to approve first reading of ordinance number 937 and move to a second reading with a public hearing to be held on November 7th, 2017.
Second.
Been moved and seconded. Any discussion?
Under Section A, when I understand we're going to have public hearing and then after the public hearing recess into our assembly meeting. So I think under Section A, where it says order of business, we could remove the 7 p.m. time. Because we will not necessarily start at 7 p.m.
You will. You still will. So do you want me to explain?
Right.
Okay, uh-huh. So the regular meeting will be called to order at 7 o'clock. And then there will be the order of business. When you get down to, if there is a public hearing, it will be after mayor and assembly appointments. There'll be a public hearing so that the mayor would open the meeting. The public hearing, and then people can speak on the items that are under the public hearing ordinances, if there's any vacation requests, anything like that. And then once the public has had an opportunity to speak, then the mayor will close that public hearing and then move into the motion to approve that item.
Well, my question is, do you think we'll have enough time? Some of these, you know, if we have a contentious item to discuss, we may want to call the meeting at 6 or 6:30.
Well, we can always recess and continue the public hearing afterwards, can't we?
No.
No, we can't do that. No. Yeah.
We can't change our start time either without notice to the public.
Well, right.
Right.
So why would we state it in this ordinance, a time certain in the ordinance?
Well, is the assembly wanting to look at changing the meeting time?
Well, I think from time to time we may want to.
Well, if we're going to change it, we can look at changing it, but we shouldn't go back and forth. It needs to be consistently that the meeting starts at a specific time.
It's set by ordinance.
We can go with what this is, and if we see that it's becoming an issue.
Okay.
I will say that I've seen in other municipalities where it's really not as big of an issue as you would think.
We don't stay here till 11?
Right.
The whole purpose of this is that we come in at 6 o'clock for a public hearing, and then we have a public hearing for 5 minutes, recess, and then sit here for 50 minutes while we're twiddling our thumbs before we get into the regular session.
The other thing we can do is, if we know that it's a particularly contentious issue, we can call a special meeting that deals specifically with that and hold just a public hearing only if we need to. That way that hearing can go as long as it absolutely needs to, and then we can take care of the business on another night if necessary.
That sounds good.
Yeah. And usually we know when something like that is going to happen.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
Item 5-6. I think it would be nice, Kim, if we could insert.
I'm sorry, what page?
5-6, I think it's page 7. Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't give you the page, did I? Page 7, 5, and then 6. Citizens will be encouraged to submit written presentations and exhibits.
Mm-hmm.
I think I appreciate that some folks just show up and they have materials, but it would be nice if we maybe codified a little bit that it would be encouraged that you submit the materials in advance so that they're available to the assembly.
So maybe after exhibits in advance?
When possible. I appreciate some people come from out of town and they've got things to share with us, but I'm like Assembly Member Gilbert. I like a little bit of time to digest this stuff, and I hate when I'm trying to read here and listen to what somebody's saying.
And that burden can absolutely be on me or with Lisa to when we communicate with members that are going to be coming in to give presentations, to ask if they can please send that information to us so we can distribute it to you.
We can be clear that we need materials in the timely manner to go in the agenda packet.
It's really helpful.
I think
that's
a very good point, because oftentimes people come in with materials and they have one copy that they give to the clerk.
Yeah, right.
You really run out.
We have to recess the meeting so that she can go make copies for each individual assembly member, which wastes a lot of time.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Very good point.
That's all I had. It looks really good.
It does.
And I really appreciate the new format.
I think the new format
really came out nicely, you guys. Thank you.
Any further discussion? Hobo, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13B, approval of a consent to assignment of lease for financing purposes for the facility lease agreement for Lot 1 Wrangell Marine Service Center with Don Soy. This was postponed from the September 12th and October 10th regular assembly meetings.
Move to postpone this item once again until the November 7th, 2017 rescheduled regular assembly meeting.
I'll second that.
No. Sorry.
Trying to give you a chance.
No. But maybe you want to play that game card as long as I can.
May I move to second? Any discussion?
Mr. Mayor, if I may give an update, we did receive an email today from the bank with their comments. They have a couple of issues with some things that, in my opinion, are non-negotiable from our standpoint. And so we're going to try to come up with some workaround language. They've asked for a meeting with our attorney on the phone so we can talk through some of this stuff. And we're trying to get that scheduled for Friday. So our hope is we can work through these final issues and get this on the agenda, because Mr. Sorek has been having to wait long enough. So.
Thank you. Yeah,
and I really appreciate that, because Mr. Sorek is trying to do something good.
Yes.
And it just seems like the poor guy is running into brick wall after brick wall. So I'm glad we're working with him and trying to find those solutions.
Yep.
And he finished his project, right?
Oh, his project has been finished for a long time. And
he's got water and everything.
I think he's no, he doesn't have water to his second site.
Okay.
But the lease area that this is concerned with was where he poured the concrete, and that has been done for quite some time.
Okay.
But I will say the borough, the things that we could get done for him, like extending the lease, we took action on that immediately. We had a special Port and Harbor Commission meeting, and then we brought that to the Assembly as soon as we possibly could. So we did try to act as swiftly as necessary for private business to move forward, but sometimes even our hands are strapped. So,
any further discussion? Call vote, please.
Assembly members Gilbert?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
Persunka?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13C, proposed resolution number 10-17-1383. A resolution of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, Alaska, authorizing the renewal of the line of credit agreement between the City and Borough of Wrangell and the Wrangell Medical Center.
I move to approve resolution 10-17-1383 of the Assembly of the City and Borough of Wrangell, authorizing the renewal of the line of credit agreement between the City and Borough of Wrangell and the Wrangell Medical Center.
Second.
I'm putting you down for that.
Assemblymember Howell. We moved and seconded. Any discussion?
I asked the CEO, Robert Rang, to explain to me the document that he submitted, and it's quite telling. It explains why the city or the Wrangell Medical Center has shortage of funds. Would you like to, with your permission,
state your name and address for the record, please?
Robert Rang, mine marker 5.1, Zenobia Highway. So the document that Assemblymember Gilbert's referring to is, I think it's titled, it's 13C-5. It's the one that's kind of, it's got TruBridge, the label on the top. As you can see, looking at our goals of trying to get our unchecked and the COVID stuff out within 3 to 2 days, we are meeting that goal very well and keeping that. So what amounts to is we're doing our job to get the bills processed and getting them out to the insurance companies and asking them to pay them what to do. Unfortunately, as you scroll down there, the BBUP stands for billed but unpaid over 90 days. Our goal is to have less than 2% of our collectibles under 90 days, and unfortunately, it's running about 50%. Blue Cross Blue Shield counts for 38% of their claims is over 90 days. Medicaid is 51% currently. Medicare is 43%. And our commercial business, which is other besides Blue Cross Blue Shield, such as Aetna and some of the other companies, is running about 60%. And then the very last line just says about 25% of our collectibles is private pay. So as you can see with those four statements about what's over 90 days, it's not taking a large percentage of our accounts receivable, even though we have about $2.6 million that is owed to us for the service we've provided. Unfortunately, we haven't seen that money yet. And so we were working diligently with the insurance company, but you know, there's only so much we can do on our end. This first quarter for the fiscal year of FY18, at the beginning of any fiscal year, you've got all the insurance payments that you pay up front, you know, for your policy, so you have that uploaded money. We've had some unexpected repairs on our older building. It's about 50 to 60 years old, depending on what part of that building, which is kind of added to that expense. September, we had 3 pay periods. Doesn't sound like it'd be much of a big deal, but it's about $175,000. And then having on top of this lack of collectibles. And so it's kind of put us in a bind. We are not in crisis mode. but we are definitely in a situation that I will make payroll this week, but I've got less than 3 days cash on hand, which means I don't have money to be paying bills, and so that's why I'm asking the Assembly to reapprove that line of credit that was put in place before I arrived.
Yes.
Did you see this coming down the pipe?
We knew we were having challenges. We were working with insurance companies, which you can only bargain so much. Medicare, Medicaid, you're at the mercy of them, to be honest with you. But as you've looked and followed our finances since I come on, we've always had our ups and flows and stuff, and so it was the first time it's actually gotten to this point.
I do follow the finances, yeah. And I was surprised to see 3%. 3 days, that's pretty low.
Yeah, and it's been very rare that we've been able to get over 30 days. Unfortunately, it's just, I could have come to you guys sooner, but I didn't want to do that unless I actually had a need. I didn't want to cry wolf too many times, otherwise you guys wouldn't give me the attention I think I deserve.
Well, I would encourage you actually to do the exact opposite of what you're thinking.
Right.
And I would encourage you to, at the very least, be speaking to Lisa, a city manager,
right,
about those concerns well in advance, because my fear is our situation moves and fluxes, and that the more notice we have. Sorry, let me go back for a second, because I want to give you, first of all, I want to recognize I was the person that recommended this $500,000 line of credit. I also recommended that you have access to it as you see fit, because I didn't want you getting a loan from a bank if we were capable of doing this. So first of all, that needs to be said, that was there for these sort of things. But I would say that I know you're saying you're not in crisis mode yet, but 3 days of operating reserve is one crisis away from an absolute disaster. And I think it would be prudent for you to keep the city manager abreast of everything that's going on there, so that she can keep the Assembly aware of what's going on, so that we're not surprised, I guess, if there's a big crisis, because you may need more than $500,000.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
So
we are sitting, financially we're sitting, although our current cash flow is, all our bills are there in 30 days, so we haven't been pawning this, passing this on to, the folks that we owe money to, so we're doing good there. We got a credit card that's got probably $80,000 of a line of credit that, it's with zero balance. So we have, so we do have a contingency plan if things were in this job. But I agree with you that, and Lisa and I have had some very good, long, lengthy conversations regarding the hospital needs. So we'll continue that.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
For me, it is really important that this hospital remains solid. And as we are talking about collaborations, partnerships with other potential partners, if we are negotiating from a position of bankruptcy, that changes everything. And the Sitka Hospital was kind of negotiating in many ways from that position, where they just were not making the mark. I don't want us to be there. I want us to have a good, strong, powerful base to work from, so we can, if we choose to go that road, we can negotiate the best possible deal for our community moving forward. So I really encourage that you two remain in constant communication as we move forward.
And I would suggest the two documents that you shared with us on the agenda tonight, I would like to see those every month. That would be great. That would keep us, we could, monitor the accounts receivable.
We do get your minutes in our packet, but it would be nice to sort of have it cracked up. We get it. Our packets are pretty large. So I got to admit, I don't always look at the school board minutes or the... Sorry, Patrick. You guys are always in executive session.
Anything? Any further discussion? Hold on, please.
Assembly members Howell?
Yes.
Prasanka?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes.
Mr. Mayor, if I may just add, we are, Lieber just is ready to cut that check first thing in the morning. So.
Can you give my Christmas card list?
Thank you for coming down, Robert.
Item 13D, approval of the letter to Governor Walker regarding transboundary waters. This was postponed from the October 10th regular assembly meeting.
Move to approve the letter to Governor Walker regarding transboundary waters.
Second.
Been moved and second. Any discussion?
We can't keep them quiet now.
Yeah, careful.
It's a well-written letter.
It is a well-written letter.
If I may, Mr. Mayor and members of the Assembly, I realized actually a couple of days ago that I failed. I spoke about economics only, and I failed to put anything in there about the traditional uses of that area by our indigenous peoples. And if you will indulge me, if you will approve the letter as it is, knowing I'm going to add a small paragraph in there about it before we have the mayor sign that, is everybody amenable to that?
Mm-hmm. I am, and my guess is that our local tribe has also been submitting letters that also speak to that, but I think it's important that we also recognize
that. We reaffirm that, yeah. And I will make sure that I share the letter with Esther at the tribe and make sure that she is actually submitting something as well.
For the public, could you just briefly recap what the letter states and what it concerns?
So for those people not familiar with transboundary waters, and I myself am new to this, not being in an area that is adjacent to the Canadian border like we are here, we have a mine that is 80 miles from Wrangell that sits on the Stikine River. And they are, as was talked about in our work session this evening, there are tailings ponds that are directly adjacent to those rivers. And if those tailing ponds were to breach and go into the river, it would have potentially catastrophic effects to a variety of different issues, fish and wildlife, and to the economies that are supporting our communities, the fishing industry, not to say the least, and the visitor industry, and then also the traditional ways of life that I talked about. So what the letter speaks to is it asks the governor and the lieutenant governor to specifically request that the Secretary of the Interior begin working with Canada on transboundary water protections so that we make sure that if there is a catastrophic failure of a tailings pond and our waters are contaminated, that there is some stuff in place to keep that from happening to begin with. But if something catastrophic should happen, that there are monies in place to deal with the cleanup and to deal with the economic effects that would be impacting our region if something like that were to happen. And unfortunately, what was found, there's an audit component within the Canadian government, and that auditor's department did an audit of the Ministry of Mining and I think the Ministry of the Environment, and found that both of those ministries were failing significantly in the way that they were monitoring the way that the mining industry is following the rules and putting money and things in place to make sure that if there is some sort of catastrophic failure, that this stuff is taken care of. And we witnessed a catastrophic failure, I think it was a year and a half ago, on another mine further south from here. I think it was south.
Mount Polly.
Yeah. And the bigger issue is the Mount Polly mine tailings pond is from a mine that does not have any type of sulfur in it. And the mine, I believe it's the Bruce Jack mine that is adjacent to the Stikine River, it does. And so the contamination going into the river would be far worse here than it would be where the Mount Polly mine breached. And so we want to make sure that we are actively involved in requesting that the governor and the lieutenant governor ask this, because it isn't as if the state of Alaska and the BC government can address issues that have international concern. That can only be done by two federal governments, and so we have to ask the Department of the Interior, the Secretary of the Interior, to do this on our behalf at the federal level.
J- Just a couple of points, just for the public. It's not the red. It's a Red Chris.
Red Chris, not Bruce Jack. Sorry.
And Bruce Jackson Munich, and the Red Chris is not next to the Stikine River. It's in the Stikine watershed, so it's located further up. There's actually no mine that's located right on the Stikine River, but the watershed does flow into the Stikine River. So, in essence, it is on the Stikine River. But I just want to make sure folks know that.
Thank you for the clarifications.
Any further discussion?
Assembly members Prasanka?
Yes.
Gilbert?
Yes.
Howell?
Yes.
And Mayor Jack?
Yes. Item 13E, approval of alternative option for the Wrangell Island Project timber harvest and withdrawing the draft record of decision objection by the City and Borough of Wrangell.
I move to not approve.
You actually have to move to approve and then vote it down. Have to have a positive motion.
Okay. I move to approve. But not. The alternative option for the Wrangell Island Project timber harvest and withdrawing the draft record of decision objection by the City and Borough of Wrangell.
Second.
Removed and second. Any discussion?
Can you call Carola? No. My question was, how many million board feet would be viable?
George is probably
George,
a better one
to answer.
Right now, want me to speak? Yes, George, would you come up and state your name and address for the record, please?
Sure.
George Woodbury, Loop Road. I'm going to take a little bit of this. Carol gave me agenda items. I came in the door, so I was able to read our, you know, the Wrangell position on timber and what the desires are for timber. And I think one of the things we should recognize right now that we probably have the best, last, maybe, opportunity to try to correct what's happened to us in the last 10 to 12 years of management of the Tongass. It's been managed in a way to to put an end to industry, not to make it go. And the new administration has a resource-oriented wealth creation philosophy that is the kind of philosophy that we need if we're going to restore a timber supply and bring back any kind of an industry that will create wealth, jobs, and a future for all of us that want to live here in Wrangell, in a significant part of the economic base like it used to be. The CRA, Congressional Review Act decision that just came down, is an option that is being explored by Jim Clark in the group of 17 that he has signed on. Excuse me. We had this 60th anniversary meeting, 60-year anniversary of the Alaska Forest Association last week, and Jim presented to us his pitch to have Alaska Forest Association to be a part of that group. We have not been a part of. We have a separate operation going with a different lawyer and in the Southeast Conference, which I think is still in, right, Carol? Yeah. And the difference between the two are not much. I mean, we all have the same objective, to take advantage of what we think we have coming with this new administration, or the opportunities that we may have. But the CRA approach only fixes a part of the problem. That's the modification of the plan. The issues we have to deal with, if we're going to get back on our feet, is to not only modify the amended plan, the 2008 amended plan, do away with the transition to second growth as written, transition to second growth has been an objective of the industry from the day they started in the 50s. But you can't get there unless the trees are big enough and valuable enough to support an industry where you can market the products you cut out of it. They're not there yet, and they won't be for quite a while. And for sure not in 10 to 15 years like the past administration was trying to accomplish. They weren't trying to accomplish a transition. They were trying to get us out of old growth and tell us that we're going to be able to stay alive by going into second growth. It was just another step in the demise of the timber supply. So the key part of the Rangel decision is a prime example of why the plan needs to be amended, why the transition has to go away, why the roadless rule must be dealt with. All of these things have to happen. Just taking care of one of them won't do it. You guys got to take care of all of them. And the main difference between what Jim's doing and what we, the organization, the AFA is doing with the Southeast Conference is trying to move very slowly, not jump off the bandwagon or take off on one direction and force it until we know that's the one that has the best chance of survival or success. And there's legislation being worked on. You got appropriations coming up within the next week or so that will hopefully have some language in it that will fix some of these problems. You got the possibility of the Forest Service has to trigger the request to go down the road with this Congressional Review Act. Rather, Senator Murkowski is going to try to get the Forest Service to do that or not. I'm not sure yet. The biggest problem, one of the big problems that we're dealing with is the fact that we don't have an Undersecretary of Agriculture who we can go to explain our position and what we need here in Alaska. All we have is the same people that we've had to deal with for the past 10 years. And I don't think philosophically they're going to change overnight. There's been no indication. They've had about 6 months or 8 months under this new administration to take advantage of the philosophy of the Trump folks to shift gears from interpreting all these rules and regulations of the other in favor of closing the timber supply off. They could have taken that opportunity with this change to switch if they're really serious about trying to get its timber supply back on the market. Anyway, the importance of all this in the Rangel project, like I said earlier, is this is a prime example of why it doesn't work. I started on this project when they first put it together almost 10 years ago. And we were at the 200 million level of potential timber that's still out there. And we are now down to answer your question, the long-winded to get there, but when I'm here and the analysis I did, there was no units that they had prepared that would carry their weight out of the woods. None. But if you selected, and that's what the Forest Service is doing now, piecemeal all around, anywhere from 5 to 15, maybe 20 at the outside, out of the 56 million that was advertised, and the 180 million where we started a number of years ago. All these, the old growth reserves, the roadless, the Tonga 77, the roadless, all of these things have just decimated the opportunity. If you're a Forest Service guy that wants to lay out timber, you're completely frustrated because they can't make it happen and follow the rules that they applied to themselves. So anyway, to follow what your goals have been in the past, to restore some kind of an industry and some timber in your economic base of this community, you got to tell the Forest Service to do it over. Do it again. Go back. But don't do it over until the plan is amended and these problems that have been put upon us in the last 10 years are gone. You got to, there's a lot of work to be done, a lot of heavy lifting. But the other side's had 10 years to put us in the mess we're in, and we got maybe 10 months at the outside to get reverse that. So anything we do that sends a signal that we're happy with what they're doing is not a good message. One that says, do it over, get it right, fix it so we can get our timber supply back, is should be the bottom line goal.
Thank you. Any questions?
Oh, actually, I'm good. I'm just going to...
Thank you.
We stated in our letter of August 28, 2017, that our basically our expectations with this process, that we wanted to see the opportunities developed to establish long-term timber supply plan for small mills and value-added manufacturing, develop infrastructure to maximize value, added local wood manufacturing, create a market Tongass wood brand, support buy local campaign for wood products, recruit timber manufacturers, and enhance workforce development and opportunities for youth skills development. And I believe that came from the economic development group that Jeremy Maxand, Carol, and Assemblymember Decker were a part of. And I've read that document, and I wholeheartedly endorse it. One of my concerns is, from what Mr. Woodbury was just saying, is that I hear lots of talk about getting the trees, but very little talk about reestablishing an actual mill, an actual processor here in our community. And so what I'm fearful of is that we're gonna just basically advocate for export logs. And because this is what, that to me is what we're looking for. And so I hope as we move forward in this process that we are hammering that down, that we are looking to do this as our priority, because that I think is a good plan, and that we're not just looking at some bridge of cutting down millions of board feet of wood and shipping it overseas. That's what I hope.
Well, and we won't have any mills if we don't have the timber to cut, so.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
The one mill we have now is having a very difficult time getting timber.
Actually, they have a 10-year supply over on
Edlin
Island. He's got a 10-year supply.
They do now.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is, who's going to cut this wood? Is there?
But there for a while, there was a city that was maintaining them, the city timber that maintained them, till that sale comes through. What happens in 10 years?
Well, Mr. Mayor?
Yes.
My understanding is, have we found out any more information on the mill property? Do we know anything more?
No, I have a meeting on Friday to learn some more about that.
Okay. All right. Well, I just want us to keep the eye on that prize, because to me, that's an important part of what we're trying to do.
Yeah, Steve, how I answer that is the reason you see the export that's going on now off the national forest is the problem. In the past, no white wood, hemlock or spruce, was allowed to be exported without primary manufacturing, because the Forest Service could not build an economic sale, one that's not deficit, and can't sell, can't put it, not even offer it. let alone sell it. They shifted one in steps up to 50% of the white wood, of the spruce and hemlock. It's permitted the export out of the federal timber sale. Part of the thing that I was describing in the fix of the forest plan, modifying the roadless rules, or doing away with the roadless rule, and modifying old growth reserves, the fixes that must be done before we can go forward, will once again put economic timber out in the forest, which will not have to export the timber so that they can sell it. The only reason they're exporting it is the only way they can get it in the black so somebody will buy it. They brought the out problem on themselves, and it's because of these restrictions and they just piled on to stop timber harvest. You got to get rid of those. Get rid of that, and you just get rid of export. And then you'll have the opportunity to restore mill operations that we used to have.
Any further discussion?
Has there been any interest in putting a mill in Ring? I know there was a guy looking here 18 years ago. I mean, I'm just saying, we're talking about making all this viable. Is there anybody ever been interested in putting a mill?
Not really. That person was interested basically if the borough guaranteed that he could operate. In other words, if he was going in the black, that the borough would keep him afloat. And we just can't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was my understanding of what happened there. And it basically he was also looking at Petersburg and everything, looking around everything. He was looking. That was it. Not really sure. No. Any further discussion? Pull up, please.
Assembly members Prasanka?
No.
Gilbert?
No.
Howell?
No.
And Mayor Jack?
No. I'm going to call a recess here for about 5 minutes.
I don't remember how I was supposed to vote with you.
At 8:24.